pledge allegiance to America, the home of the brave and the true. We pledge allegiance to America, the land of the red, white, and blue. We honor the flag over land and sea. It waves as the banner of liberty. America, America, we pledge our allegiance to you. We pledge allegiance to America, and now these are pledges we make anew. America, America, we pledge our allegiance to you. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, if my people, which are called by my name, repent of sin and turn from their wicked ways. If my people, which are called by my name, will look to me and call upon my name, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land and heal.
A blessing this week as we got to see God heat up the place around here. And so I hope you're doing well this morning. How's everyone this morning? If you're doing well, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, then don't say anything, all right? So, but I hope you are doing well. It's been a busy week for us. And then, of course, many of you know we're coming up on July 4th next weekend. And we'll kind of shut down the offices for a couple days there. And but it's going to be a great week, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, this past week, I called home to talk to my dad, and he made a statement. He said this. He said, you need to move out of that place. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you need to get out of there and get to a safer place. My dad heard about the shooting over in Cordelia and how that some guy took 150 rounds and started shooting the neighborhood, just shooting around the neighborhood. And he read about that, and it really bothered my dad. And so Dad was thinking, you need to come back where it's safer. Here's what I found, though. I found that you can try to run away from things like that, but you're going to find that same thing happens in other places as well. In fact, running away is not the answer. For me, I know God has called me to be the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church and serve in this community. And I'm concerned about what's going on in our community, but the problem is not the guns or the shooter. The problem is sin. Sin has permeated all of our society. Sin is everywhere. It seems to be growing almost out of control. But let me remind you tonight, this morning rather, that there is a God in heaven that is bigger than sin. That there's a God in heaven more powerful than anything, and we have to believe that, and we know that God rules over the affairs of men. This week we'll celebrate 238 years as a nation. And you might be like me, I'm concerned with the direction that our nation is going spiritually. I'm concerned with what's happening in our communities and in a country like ours. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anything that we can do to turn the downward trend of wickedness and violence? Is there anything we can do? Is it possible for us to see a change? Is it possible for us to see God do something very amazing in America once again, and in our community once again? It seems as though when we read the newspapers, and we do, I hope you do read the newspapers, that we find that there's crime. I mean, crime is everywhere. I'm shocked at the crime that goes on in our little community of Fairfield and Sassoon. I mean, we read about, you know, things happening maybe in our neighborhood, maybe next door to us. Maybe it's someone we know. It could be even someone that you have had contact with, or maybe even know the victims of those who've been a part of crime. It all seems that that's the way it is, and that we're dealing with it. And then we notice that there are questions that come to our mind, like, is there anything we can do to stop this? Is there anything that is possible that we can do as a believer, as a Christian, as a family, in a community, as a church? Can we do something? What can we do? Well, this past Friday, if you might have seen the paper, the front page of the paper, we saw there were 43 arrests of lifetime criminals right here in our community. They were living perhaps next door to us, or maybe in our neighborhood. 43 arrests. And 10 of those were right here in the city of Fairfield, and that means, of course, Solano County area. They made these arrests. And you might be saying, you know, I'm concerned because my kids, they go to the public school. Maybe you're a teenager this morning and you find yourself embroiled in some things and you go to the public school. Maybe you were like me when our public information officer, Rebecca Belk, when she stood up and had to give some statistics about crime in our community and how that she talked about what was going on in our community and the concern that we had. Maybe you're like me and you're wondering, wow, what can we do? Teenagers in high schools going and carrying guns now on campuses. There's shooters that go on high school campuses, and here's one of our high schools. Maybe you're a teenager, you're trying to figure it out. You're influenced by the things that are happening, and you wonder, what in the world is going on? Let me remind you of this, that wrong is wrong. And if everyone is doing it, it's still wrong. And right is right, even if no one else is doing it. And we have to keep that in mind. That's very important for us. As we look this morning at what God wants to say to us as a nation, as a community, and as a church. I am concerned, and I hope that you are, and I believe that you probably are. Maybe you're a grandparent and you're watching the society in which we live crumble around us. Maybe you're a young adult and you're wondering, what can I do? What's the future? Where are we going? Is it possible to rescue this country? Is it possible that though a nation is going downward and it seems as though things are out of control, is it possible that we can do something to see something happen in this country? Well, the nation of Israel felt that way. They felt that way because they understood everything I'm telling you. They lived it. Take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. The book of Jeremiah had been preaching to the nation of Israel that they need to get right with God or God is going to bring judgment to them. That they needed to make sure that they are right with God, because if they do not, that God will judge them, and God will judge them with plagues and captivity and awfulness and ugliness. That's what God's going to bring. And for 28 chapters, he spent proclaiming a message. And when we get to Jeremiah 29, look at verse number 1, judgment fell. And yet God gave them a clear response to where they were. Look at what he says in verse number 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem. So let's get the picture here. Here they are. They are taken into captivity. They are in Babylon. Jeremiah had told them that this was going to take place, and they refused to obey. They refused to listen. And now Jeremiah is writing a letter down to comfort them in their captivity. Because at this point, it seemed like it was hopeless. And let's read on, read the rest of the verses here. And notice what he says. It's under the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets, to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the prince of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa the son of Shaphan and Jeremiah and Jemiah the son of Hilkiah, when Zedekiah king of Judah sent into Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city whither I caused you to be carried away captive. And pray unto the Lord for it, for in peace thereof shall ye have peace." This is strange. I would think that what they would pray is, "God, deliver us. God, get us out of this mess. Lord, we're in a crazy mess right now, and so, Lord, we need for you to come and get us out of this." That seems to be how a lot of people feel today. If somehow or another we could just get out of here. We need to get away from that. We can flee from that. Let's run away. But remember, God has an answer. You know, our answers aren't always God's answers. What God wants to do is God's business and not necessarily ours. So here's the first and vital information that God gives us in this passage. And that is that we are to be a witness. Well, let me back up here just a minute. We're to be a witness in the place God has sent you. That's what you're to be. You and I are to be a witness. You see, I've had so many people say things like this to me. "You know, Pastor, I really want you to pray I'll get a different job, because you don't know how bad the place where I work is." And you're probably right. You're probably right because it is bad, because sin is everywhere. But do you realize that God may be putting you there to be a witness to those at work? Maybe God put you in the place at your neighborhood to be a witness to those around you. Perhaps maybe God put you into that school so that you could be a witness to those lost young people and those teachers, that they might see the truth of God in your life. That's what God was saying to Israel. God was telling them that what we need to do is when it gets so dark and sin is so rampant and there's so much ugliness in the world, what we need to do is turn our light up much brighter. That we're to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That yes, our cities are in desperation. Yes, our cities are in need. But let me remind you of this, that when you look into the passage, sorry, I'm jumping around here just a little bit. Our witness of God's power can overcome the corruption of our community. That's what I want you to get. Our witness of God's power can overcome the corruption of our community. And let me tell you why. Because God has called every one of us to be salt and light in our communities. God has called every one of us to be the salt and light. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, Jesus says this. He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, what's interesting about this idea of the light is that, you know, when you go into a darkened place, your eyes are going to try to do everything it possibly can to seek light. In other words, your eyes are going to be trying to find any ray of light, any glimmer of light. They're going to do all that they can. They'll keep working to try to find that light. It's kind of like, I guess, a cell phone. You know, if you get out a signal with your cell phone, it's going to keep searching and searching and searching and searching, trying to find, if you would, that signal. And it'll literally burn itself out trying to find the signal. And here's what God is saying. We live in a darkened world, and they are about to burn themselves out to find the light of the gospel. They're looking for the light. They're looking for the truth. You and I, we have the truth, and that truth is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's really interesting in this story is about two cities. I titled the message, "The Tale of Two Cities," because these two cities are still around today. The first city is the city of man. It's the city in which man lives. It's the civilization of man. It would be a city without God. It would be a city that would be wrapped up in just what's happening today. It's wrapped up in the temporal. It's wrapped up in the pleasures. It's wrapped up in the pride of man. It's wrapped up in everything that's about here and now. The second city we find in Scripture is the city of God. And by the way, thank God for the city of God. Amen. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, we are a part of the city of God. Now, here's how it works. It's important for us to keep in mind that we're to shine the light of the gospel into the city of man. That mankind is supposed to look not to themselves for the answer, but to something that's much greater than they are, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God says that He's calling us to do that. You see, America needs to go back to what it was founded upon. 238 years ago, these men shined the light of the gospel in America. When they came to this country, the first building that was built here was a church house. When they came here, the very first concern was, what is it that God wants for our country? What is it that the Lord Jesus wants? You can read it in the history. Read it in the unadulterated history of this country, because God knows that we need Him once again. But let me say something about these two cities. Here's the philosophy. Here's the first one. The first one is that the city of man says that your life is to benefit me. In other words, for you, your job in the city of man is to please me. You're to take care of me. That's your job. And I don't think it takes us too long to realize that seems to be the driving force of our communities. That it's all about pleasing me. It's all about making me happy. It's all about satisfying me. But the city of God has a different set of rules. The city of God says that my life, if you would, is to serve you. That's what I'm to do. You say, where did you get that from? The Bible. Who showed us that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said that He came and He gave Himself a ransom for all. Jesus Christ came and He served this world and He served this community. And because He did, you and I can be the beneficiary of that. Thank God for that. So what is God saying to us? What does He mean? What is this? What is the real focus of the passage? Here's the focus: that our witness to this community is greater because of God's power than the power of sin in this community. That's what I want to remind you of. You see, when we go out in this community or wherever it is, anywhere, we can know that God says that we can establish once again a presence in this community. You see, what God was telling the Israel, says, look, you have some responsibilities that you live in this community. Here's what you're to do. You're to unpack your spiritual bags, if you would. You're to kind of unpack your physical bags. You're to get in that community, and you're to be a part of that community. That you're to have a great presence there in that community. That you are to build houses, and that you're to be involved in the agriculture in that ancient world. That was the jobs of that day and today. In other words, we need to get involved in the jobs. And then we have children and families, and we're to rear our families. In other words, we're not to sit back and say something like this, well, you know, I'm just kind of maintaining until Jesus comes back. No, what it means is that we're to occupy until he comes back. That we're to go into our communities, that we're to make a difference, that America needs this once again. But then the second law, he tells them that they're to pray for the peace, that we're to pray for our communities. And look, this morning, I want to tell you this. I can assure you, I've been in personal meetings with our community leaders here, and every one of them has said, please pray for us. Have your church pray for us. Have the people in your church pray and get involved and show concern and show compassion. You see, the truth of the matter is, God is calling every one of us that we need to claim this community for Jesus Christ. That we need to claim this community for him. That we need to decide right now that this community is not about itself, but we want to claim it for Jesus Christ. I'm concerned about this whole area here. Now, I'm concerned about our whole country, but all I can do is work in the area that God's placed me. That I want to do what God would call me to do. And God is saying something to us like this. He's saying, look, what city are you a member of? If you're not a member of the city of God, then you're a member of the city of man. And God says the city of man is on the road to destruction. And that city is going to be judged by God Almighty. But you can get out of that city and become a member of the city of God through Jesus Christ. And what that means is 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ came and that he died for our sins and that he was buried and he rose again. And by putting our faith and trust in him, that we can be a part of the city of God. Because one day down the road when we're all dead and gone, that we'll be in eternity with Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And God says that city needs to shine the light into a darkened city of man. And every one of you in here, you can shine your light. You can shine your light. You can take your light into the area where you are. God's looking for people like that. God's looking for some. And by the way, this is now not a time to capitulate to the political pressure of society. Now's a time to turn the light up. Because the darker the night, the brighter the light. And what God is saying is in America, and in California, and in Fairfield, and in Solano County, and really the whole world, if we would just turn up the light and just decide that we want to have a visible presence for God in our community, what a difference it would make. And I'm not talking about a church building. I'm not talking about a parking lot or the front of the building or a sign. I'm talking about lives. I'm talking about our lives going in and touching other lives. I think too long we as a church have gone more into a retreat mode instead of an offensive mode. And what we've done is we've sat back and say, well, we're just trying to defend what we believe. We ought to defend what we believe, but you know what the best approach to that? And a good defense is a good offense. Let's go into this community for Jesus Christ. Let's just decide right now that you know, for me, I'm going to turn the light up. I'm not going to go hide out in my house and hide out and cocoon myself away from everything else, but I'm going to claim my community for Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what God's calling us to do. See, Christians have allowed the world to influence them, rather than the Christians to influence the world. We have more of the world in the church than we have the church in the world. Because we've been hung up with this idea of separation of church and state. You know why? You know what the separation of church and state, the whole issue, read it historically. That's to keep the government out of the church. That's not for us to stay out of communities. We're to have our part. We're to shine our light. We're to capture our communities, wherever it is, and we're to do what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is speaking to our hearts about calling us, that we would get real serious about that. If you read down to verse number 11, God says, I have my plans for you. And many of you probably know this verse very well, but notice what it says, for I know my thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what it means? God has a plan. God has a plan for those. And by the way, they were not sent as captives. They were sent as witnesses. They were not sent. These exiles were not really captives. God sent them down to be a witness. And by the way, you're not a captive in your community. You're to be a witness in your community. Wherever God has put us, that's what we are to do. There's no doubt about it. That's what God is concerned about. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing when people take this real serious. When Christians decide to turn the light up. When they decide that they want to do what they're supposed to do. You know, it's sad when some Christians have just kind of let the world have so much influence over them that no longer do they let the light shine. No longer do they let people see that Jesus Christ is the answer. No longer do they kind of buy into what the world has told them. They're living more for the city of man than for the city of God. And I wonder if maybe God might not be speaking to somebody here in this room today. You see, when we notice the trend of churches in America, and it's really sad because churches are dropping off. People are dishonoring attendance in churches. You know, the reason why churches have closed doors on Sunday night is because people won't come. You know why churches don't have Wednesday night service? Because people won't come. You know, it's really sad when people do that. You know why missionaries are literally doing everything they possibly can to get the mission filled? Because people won't give. You know why the mission of the church is suffering? It's not because that the pastors don't care. It's because the people don't care to give. Maybe God is speaking to someone here this morning. Turn the witness up. Hey, this past week, I was really excited because my son came home. He was telling me about Cross Point and some of the guys got together. He was talking about how the fact that some of these young men got together and they were praying for each other. They were kind of in groups and they were praying with their arms around each other. They were praying that they would stay pure. This is our group who are the singles. They're not married, and they're just young couples or young singles, and God is concerned about them, and they're praying together, they're seeking God, and they're asking God to protect them from the things of this world. It'd be wonderful to see families if they would feel the same as they would pray together. It's always great when teenagers make commitments that they're going to be pure and live right and live clean. See, be a different world. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we lived like that? We really believe what the Bible said. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if that were the case? I was thinking about a world in which neighbors knew neighbors, where we didn't have fences along our house borders, where we could know our neighbors, and maybe where we could bring back Mayberry. Maybe we can bring back Barney Fife. The police department wouldn't be necessary anymore, that at least it would be on a limited basis. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a place where your children could go out and play? You didn't have to worry about them. You didn't have to worry about somebody coming by and snatching them up. Wouldn't it be really great if we had a world like that once again, where you would just tell your kids, come home at dusk? It'd be wonderful if there was neighbors getting to know neighbors and no one even questioned that. Wouldn't it be great? You see, God can do all that. God can do every one of those things I just mentioned. And what God is saying is we need to claim our community for Jesus Christ. Will you decide Look, as bad as we may want the church to do that, the only way that can happen is when Christians decide they want to do that. So I believe that this morning, God is calling once again to speak to us about doing our part in claiming our area for Jesus Christ.